This is somewhat of an unexpected episode and quite a fun one in a way, because I wanted to take it back to some of the more technical but also faster techniques of writing songs, and even just talking a little bit about what I'm doing each day in terms of songwriting, instead of just kind of projecting onto the theoretical or talking about other people's music. So today, I set myself the task before I head off on holiday tomorrow, which will be awesome. I really wanted to get some ideas down for an artist called Akuna. He's really cool. He's this wonderful human being I met actually on Fiverr about maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And he's this Brazilian drum and bass producer and DJ. And we worked on a song a little while ago, and I think it came out almost 4 years or 3 years after we worked on it. So it came out recently, which is pretty funny. And it actually come out on a couple of kind of radio stations and live sets and things in Brazil previously. But I think he'd only been playing it kind of pre-release and now has decided to go and release it. So it was really cool to speak to him again. And he said, hey, can you shoot a video talking about the song? And I remember this idea of having spent a lot of time with people that were really struggling when I was living in Guildford, but also like Southwest London. Some of the people I'd spoken to were homeless and had members of their family kind of die in their arms. And even some of them, I'd turn up to the basketball court and there would be someone that's no longer with us anymore. The police would be kind of would be walling it off. And I remember having written a song with Akuna about the fact that sometimes it falls upon one single person to try and give a family a life, give a family a way out. And it reminds me a lot of the particularly football players in the UK that play for the bigger teams and play for the national team. And just that idea of being born into a situation that's nothing but difficult. And what it might feel like, not something I can necessarily relate to, but what it might feel like and being inspired by them to see if you can be the one. So that was the song I wrote with Akuna. It's called Be The One. And it was funny because I learned a lot about overseas royalties, speaking to a friend of mine at PRS and just asking about how it does work over there if songs are released. And it was this really interesting experience. And very early on, you know, before I think I'd even started the podcast, before I'd really got into trying to write for other people in a serious way. And it was nice to come back and speak to Akuna. He's moved to Miami, the city of DJs. And it was just pleasant to reconnect. And maybe a month or so ago, before I went to LA, he sent me some more tracks. Because I said, I'm actually listening to the song, even though it was years and years ago on like a Rode NT1A. Go and listen to it. You can hear what I was doing in Leah's parents' spare room. It's pretty funny to hear that out in the world. And even my friend found it on like a drum and bass pirate site. No comment, which I think is fantastic anyway, because he's a great human being. But I wanted to speak to him to ask if he had more tracks. I said, hey, just send me what you're working on. Send me what you do, because I'd love to think about working together again, just for the enjoyment of it, to write something again. And even being an artist is funny. I never really think about it too much, but when it pops up, it's enjoyable. And especially with him, because he makes it so easy and he's such a lovely human being. So he sent me this song, which I had in a Google Drive. I think I checked it out before I went to LA. And I really liked it. Just said, hey, I really like this. I'm going away. I'm going to be away from kind of any of my setup. So I don't know when I'll be able to work on this, but thanks for sending it. I really like it. And then he popped up again when I came back. I went, hey, how you doing? Can you send me the track again? So he shoots me this Google Drive link and I put it in my calendar for today, for this morning. And bearing in mind, we have a couple of interviews to do today, a couple of calls, some insights. Obviously, this is part of it. So this is part of the podcast. Bunch of things to do. But I said, hey, I really want to do something meaningful in a short period of time for him on this track. And equally, let's be real, for me, I wanted to go back and inhabit that type of writing. And the song I'd done before was very, very kind of low density, because you don't have as many words. You don't have as much opportunity, particularly in drum and bass. You often got a verse, a pre, a hook, and maybe another verse. That's it. You know, and there's not much that you really want to go into a depth, because it's about that kind of mesmeric, meditative repetition of kind of imagery. And it was cool, because sometimes it's so verbose what I do, particularly literally talking now all the time and thinking all the time. It was nice to get back into singing, back into that world of kind of a dark world, right? Because drum and bass to me is pendulum. It's chasing status. It's my teens and early, yeah, I would say early teens to very early 20s. And I remember that. I remember how the songs made me feel. And I remember they did actually hit me very much in terms of lyrics, because they were so simple, they were so broad, and they were so brave that I went, well, fuck it. It'd be cool to get back into that. So here we are, trying to strip back some of my pretentiousness, some of my techniques, some of my complicated approaches to songs, and just go for something that is Visceral. So he sent me this song. I think it's called High Frequency. It's this WAV he sent me. So I open up Logic on my templates, as I talked about before. It's great to have templates because it makes days like this really easy. We only have kind of what I did think I did it in 25 minutes, and I only had maybe 40 I'd given myself to try and do it deliberately. And having templates is really important. Sam Bauer talked about that in a lovely way. So opening the template, dropping in the file. I even had in my calendar, I had, okay, proper Sam Korkos, Tim Ferriss moment of, this is what I need to do in this slot on my calendar, color-coded for the way I think about, you know, like writing or things that are outside of coaching or outside of other kind of work that I'm doing. And in that, I then had in the notes, I had the link to the Google Drive. So click on the Google Drive, download it. This again is something I haven't looked at my communication today, WhatsApp, anything with clients, just went, okay, I'm going to get up today and I'm going to go and do this thing. So you go into my calendar, open up the Google Drive, download the file, throw it into a template, and then I'm in. And in inside Logic, if you guys know it, there's a little notepad section up in the top right, and that was even blank. Normally I'll have a verse, pre-chorus, you know, something ready to go, but I just completely started blank today, and it was weird in a lot of ways. It was a bit scary. Like, I've forgotten how to, some of the shortcuts. It's been such a long time since I did a top line for anyone. But again, I think taking the pressure off was the key to wanting to do it. And even this morning, you know, we go tomorrow, there's train strikes, there's all these things I need to do, there's all these people I want to talk to, and family members, work stuff, picking up things from LA. But I went, no, this is the day that I want to give something to this song. And I was really happy with what I achieved, which is why I even thought, well, I'm going to talk about this, because there's a lot of subtle things that maybe are very different from what I normally talk about on the show, which is kind of sometimes a bit, how do you say it? A bit clean, a bit sterilized, a bit standoff sometimes, because it's theoretical songwriting, whereas this is in the trenches, in the song again. It reminds me of when I was working on some ideas before I met Ed Graves, and he'd sent me like 8 or 9 songs, and I did an episode on like how I wrote 8 songs in how much time. But it's just fun to get back into it and to really see if I can practice what I preach and do this under pressure. And we'll see if it's a fantastic song or not, who knows. But I really feel like I wrote something today that he would love, that I really enjoyed doing, and buys into this little world we created together. And to speak to that, it's strange because I've worked with him on maybe 2 songs. Venom was another one, which is cool. And again, it goes back to this very primal, very, dare I say it, basic way of writing lyrics and writing songs. But even though we'd only done a couple songs together, we've created this world. It's very dark. It's very visual. I have a picture of him doing his live stuff, and then black background and kind of like hazy frequency stuff in my head. And even the song I wrote was very dark. It was kind of London based, moving through the streets of London at night and not really having much hope, you know, and thinking of even some of the guys that stayed with me for a short period of time and seeing how difficult their lives were and just remembering their life stories and trying to so many things. Maybe I won't talk about those for legal reasons, but it's best to avoid that. But just remembering that energy that they brought and remembering how it felt to be around people that have had to fight so hard for so little as well. That's the point. And I think despite Acuna being a sweet guy, I do my best to be positive too. It's really fun that we get to go into this dark space together. And even drum and bass is such a dark and visceral spot. And that was the beauty of this world we created. So to jump back into that, I decided I don't want to come in with like free writing. I don't want to come in with anything apart from just the slightly uncomfortable, resistance-based feeling of, okay, what the hell is this going to be? And I hadn't really even primed my subconscious much, if we talk about that on the show, whereby sometimes you hear a track a lot before you work on it. But today I remember it very briefly, but I just went, oh no, this is a song. And you hear it, you open the file and you hear it and you go, okay. So my process was, first of all, getting the BPM. That was something I spoke to him about. Otherwise, you have to guess it and it's annoying. And 174, which I'd written in my calendar notes as well. Again, all these small things really helped to have a smooth session. And then I went to the drop down and I started adding markers. And what I had was, you know, intro and then a verse and then a build, break. Because you're never sure with drum and bass. It's not just like verse, pre-chorus, bridge, which is why it was cool. For me, I had intro, verse, called it a build, turned it into a pre, which was kind of part of the hook. I like to think of having 2 hooks when you're doing drum and bass. It's essentially verse, and then A hook, B hook, verse, and then maybe some other things in between. In fact, I added a B melody. But all of this came about from just having done the markers, and as simple as having this mic here set up with different settings, which is why I love this mic. It works for both really easily. And then playing the track, you know, lining up a couple of regions on the side, a couple of channels to say, you know, this is where my first idea goes. And the way I like to do it is having the track at the top, then having a vocal recording track, and then a couple below that that would say, you know, pass one, pass two, pass three. And in fact, I normally write notes. So for example, the first time I was just, while I was doing the markers and setting up the session, I was playing the song and going, I fell down. That's what I heard. I had fell down. I went, what does that mean? What does that mean? And again, not having free writing, this thing where I still believe that you don't want to write about things that never happened, but sometimes you have to go into the unknown, go into the unfinished, into the song you don't quite understand, just letting words fall. It's actually what happened with Reese Canyon and I when we were in LA and working on our first song together, of Hopefully Many, great guy as well. Again, you build a world with people and you buy into that. And it was the same for this song, is that I heard a word fall out or fell down. Well, the first thing I remember singing was, "Do you remember?" This was just while I was setting up the session. I was singing to myself. There was nothing recording. I went, "Do you remember?" Again, normally I would shy away from that because it's so cliche, so normal. I went, no, this is what drum and bass is. I'm pretty sure from my experience and some of my friends that listen to it, I go, no, I think this is what people want. They want a kind of quite a broad, wide open story to walk into. It's very much a feeling genre. It's very much an energy genre. It's kind of hurt and difficulty and driving. And there are definitely stories, but I just remember the Chase and Status stuff. The Plan B as well, amazing. Did some amazing work with Chase and Status. And seeing Chase and Status at Reading, even, crazy. I didn't really know them as well back then, many years ago, before I aged myself. But again, before I've even started pressing record, which is always a bit of hesitance, you go, oh, I run a podcast on songwriting. I work with other people on their songwriting. Oh, this better be good. Goes to my brain every single time. And even in sessions in LA, I was sitting there going, oh, I better get this right. I talk about this. I talk about doing this right. And even talked about going to LA, and all this pressure you put on yourself can be positive. But in this case, it was just sort of in the background, and I quickly decided to just press record. And with those ideas of I fell down and do you remember, I started to play around with the first couple of sections, and even just starting the intro, started with a few hums and ideas and letting melodies appear. And this is a funny thing that happens, I find, when I'm singing melodies. Again, this happened when I was working with Reese. I sang things I didn't necessarily remember singing. And while I'm singing melodies, I'm trying to, it's a strange level of feeling and feedback. So you're feeling what you think you should sing. You're feeling the space and the harmony. And often with drum and bass, the harmony can be reasonably wide open, but there's a beat there you have to consider. So it's rhythmical beats. And I even think of it like, imagine this grid I talk about, you know, of what's the BPM, what's the rhythm, what's the harmony, what's the space. You don't need to know these on a theoretical level to write songs. That's what I truly believe. If you want to analyze songs, it can be really useful. But just to write songs, we all know how that goes. If we've been lucky enough to kind of spend a lot of time around music and have that brain circuitry. So you're looking for those gaps. That's what I would have been doing, is looking for those gaps and going, what kind of melody would fit here? And also, this is a verse. So do I want it to be, I want it, again, lower in my register, reasonably simple, quite pensive, thoughtful, and that was cool to achieve that and realize that when writing songs, a lot of what we do take for granted, but that's how I was going about it. So thinking about how to write in that sense is low register, slightly airy in the vocal, trying to be English as well. That was something I was thinking about, is the way I would pronounce words was English. And that is who I am. I grew up in bands playing American music, to be honest, and picking up their ways of speaking. And there was a band called You Meet at Six, actually, in Deaf Havana. They kind of saved me because I sang their songs, and they were, again, American aspiring. But coming back to today and going, I am English. I'm 29. I'm here in this room. I'm working with Acuna. I'm in France. I'm going on holiday. I can see there's literally flip-flops over the side of, as if by cliche. There's all these things we're thinking about doing and all these other crossroads in my life. But I went, what if I try and capture this moment? And it's a day after Valentine's Day. And again, you can't ignore all these things. Like I talk about with the inspiration meter, it's not like in isolation. We don't create music in isolation. We create music in the context of where we are, whether we're conscious of it or not. It feeds and bleeds through. So while I was singing these ideas, I was thinking about what I'm doing and trying to give myself feedback. But at the same time, once I've got a melody, once I've found, what was it, 4 or 5 different shapes of melody, different styles of melody, and all that means is different rhythms, different gaps, different registers, different pacing, and different emotion on those different things. I'm realizing I might have to go back over this because this is quite a rich topic that maybe we can pull apart and make it even easier for people to think about how they write songs. But I thought my stuff was shit. You know, I sang my ideas, and as you're singing them, you don't think they're good. Like I said, when I was working with Reese, I sang a whole verse. I don't remember singing, really. Maybe I remember where I was and what I was looking at. But I don't remember what it was until I played it back and went, oh, wow, that's exactly what I wanted to do, and I'm really glad I did. And Reese was like, this is the verse. I went, okay, cool. And sometimes it's a case of not guessing, not second-guessing yourself. Is working really hard, so being focused when you're writing that melody and thinking, again, all the things. Where is it? What's the rhythm? What's the register? What part of the song is it? What part of the story am I building? Even if you don't know what the lyric is yet, you know how you would want to start a story, right? And if you don't, we can talk about these kinds of things eventually. And when I listened back to the song today, after having been through the ideas, I went, oh no, these are actually pretty cool. These are not ideas I would have sung in any other genre. If I was going for pop, I probably would have gone bigger stuff, or country, I would have tried to get to the sweetness earlier in a certain register, a certain range. But today was cool because it was fun. And I'd reduced the box of my range. I went, I'm not going to go much higher than this and lower than this. I'm not going to go harder than this or less than this in terms of rhythm. And I remembered really enjoying going through kind of a more frenetic, rhythmic, rap-like flow on the last song I did. And I went, why the hell would I not try and do that again now? Because if you think about it, I built even a small one, an identity with Acuna, and going, well, I'm going to try something different. I'm going to allow myself to do different things, which I did, like throwing in falsetto, throwing in some higher, more soulfully or even poppier stuff, but still building off what I've done. So all of this stuff, as I realized talking to you guys, does go in, does happen. That's often why I feel so stressed when writing songs. It's often why I feel so away from myself when working on ideas, is that it's that creative and the critic. And the creative can be a scary place, because what you're doing is opening yourself up. You're allowing ideas to fall out. You're allowing things to happen. That, for me, is the stress. It's very easy to be in the critical mind and sit back in that conscious, normal state that we're always in and go, okay, cool, yeah, right, what does that mean? And my brain can switch on, and all the hours I've done with people, all the hours I've done in songwriting just since I was 13 or whatever, come back, and it's easy to sit there. But the creative energy is the scary one, because you don't know what's going to come out. You don't know if it's good, and if anything, you have to fight off that critic to be singing, for me to be putting ideas down, for me to be looking at the section going, what is this going to be? Let me find it as I sing, not let me sit back and think about it. Let me find it as I sing. Let me try things. For sure, there were bits out of time. For sure, there were bits that were out of key that went wrong. And if I was to open the Logic session, you'd be able to see, you know, there was like three takes or one or two takes before I had what I think I wanted. And that might seem quick, but it's not, because I just sang for 4 minutes. You know, I didn't kind of cut myself off. I just kept going. I kept going. Even if I felt like I'd missed a section, for example, if there's a break section, which is when the music kind of builds, the beat is quite strong. It's funny, you know, even labeling different genres, I would do it differently. But in that case, sometimes I'll put the wrong emotion of melody over a section, but I won't judge myself. I just think, well, that's a good melody for another section, so let me finish this. Let me not just stop and criticize myself into being stationary and going, okay, cool, I'm going to move this somewhere later. And it's the idea is, if you're creating, just create. And sometimes, of course, for human beings, there's that voice going, oh, this isn't as good as you can be. This isn't perfect. Why is this not perfect? You talk about this all the time. You should know, you know, all of that stuff is always happening, but you just have to learn to kind of create space, like kind of blowing air into a balloon. And like, that's how you create space for the creative. And that's where the ideas can happen. When there's that boundary of security you've created, then inside that you can play. Then inside that ideas can mix. You can hear the track, you can truly feel the track, and you can try and sing things over it. Again, I really feel like I want to go over some of that. So I thank Acuna for having me sing on this and work on this with him and remind me of the fun. Remind me of actually all the techniques that do happen, do occur. Because I spend a lot of my time writing for other people, watching them go through these things. And yes, that's a way of doing it. But having gone through it again today, you realize the complexity of, again, what am I singing? How am I singing it? Where in my range? What do I want to say? What's the emotion of this song? What's even the story? And the story started before I'd even started writing the song because of that image I have of Acuna, because of that two ideas, one that came out that I'd done with him before, and because of how I'm feeling today and because of where I am in my life, because of how I've interpreted things. And all of that is there. We don't necessarily have words for it yet. So just trust yourselves that you are getting to something. That might be the best thing to think about, is trust you're getting to something. Trust you will get somewhere. You might not always get where you think you're going to go. If you think you need to be perfect every time, it won't work. I've been thinking recently that perfectionism is an excuse to not do anything, because you'll never achieve perfection. Therefore, you tell yourself that you shouldn't start because you'll never achieve perfection. And guess where you are? At zero, with nothing. So it's about trying to get yourself moving, which is hard. That's why I talk about this. If it was easy for me, I wouldn't be obsessed. I wouldn't have a podcast if it was easy. So it's not a judgment. It's thoughts on how we can move ourselves towards what we want to do. Back to the idea. I'd done two passes and I felt like I had this introduction of I Fell Down, which I sang over the intro, but turns out it was the first part of the hook. So it was the A section of the hook, which I'd sang straight away. And then I remember, or do you remember? Just the idea of remember. That formed the verse. So verse one, verse two. And suddenly you've got these jumping off points. And then I was singing through. And what I was doing initially was just looking for keywords, those that came out. Again, with Reese, I'd sang stuff that we didn't know was connected, and then we connected it to the idea. It's the same today. When I was singing, I thought, well, this is starting to paint the shape. And I had the previous song in mind, and now I had this idea of it being probably more of a loss, more of a relationship thing because of the energy of the song. And last night was Valentine's Day as well. And you kind of think, last night I was thinking about me and my girlfriend having met in London, those nearly 6 years ago, as I record this. And I remembered that time and the fun, but also the kind of the heaviness of how it felt. And even we watched a film last night about this young guy in Paris and his kind of experiences of love, this crazy guy, very extreme, Pierre Nenny, who I think is hilarious. So it's really cool to see him doing something like that and watching that adolescence and that passion, that fire, and all of that you absorb and you take into that. So today, when I was writing lyrics, I heard I Fell Down. And I went, oh, I pictured my friend as well, fantastic human being. He's researching Alzheimer's, just got his PhD. Shout out, Rob Byrne. Well done. He listens to drum and bass. And I thought, well, what is he listening to it for? It's to push into these emotions that we have, to kind of bleed into and dream into these past stories. That's how I do it. That's why I write. Probably why I listen to it. It's to really feel something. And I ended up with, yeah, do you remember? I Fell Down. And then I thought, down, crown. Even this boring stuff is going, well, sound, lost my sound, fell down, broke the crown, lost the crown. Even now, you know, I wrote the song half an hour ago and I'm thinking, oh, do I try and do that now with the lyric? We'll talk about how you finish an idea at the end. But while I was formulating this, I had these images and I went, okay, well, what have you lost? A love. And what happened? You felt down. Something went wrong in your life. And the cool thing about this song is it doesn't need to be that specific. I just need to get hold of the emotions, which is why I felt like I could do it quickly and do it effectively today. And again, in 25 minutes, I had pretty much everything done. Meaning what I would bounce, send to Acuna is either the whole project, which I put in Dropbox if he wants that, or I would just bounce my vocal line in time with his track. Again, that's why the BPM is important. All these things are very useful. And I would attach the lyrics, just like the rough scratch lyrics. And rough scratch lyrics are done. There's a few syllables missing and I would, upon reflection, yeah, I'll edit things. But the cool thing about today is I knew I wouldn't be able to do this and finish it today. I just wanted to get started on the idea. I wanted to give him something tangible that he can think about, we can talk about, I can mull over even when I'm away. But to have something that he can process and digest it's important. And I wanted that. So I did have pressure on myself, but at the same time, I didn't today. because I knew that these songs, you need to get essentially an A, B, C, a verse, pre-chorus, maybe a hook. I had a B section, so that's A, B, C, D, four sections, and it doesn't need to take too much longer than that. If you have the skill set, if you have the belief in yourself, you can go create, criticize at that speed. And once I'd created these melodies, I then had the kind of task of, well, what world is this in? And suddenly I stopped thinking about it and started doing it. And I was playing the track back, or even remembering what I'd said and quickly noting down, just scribbling, and definitely misspelling, and just going, okay, do you remember loving together, cutting streets down, but it's hell, it's a mess now. And I was like, boom. And then listening in real time and like, what do I sound like I'm saying? And just going with it. And that's the beauty of it, is if you just go with it, that's the creative. Going with what's coming out, not necessarily filtering it, not trying to go, oh, it's not perfect. What if I, you know, I had to stop the track maybe once, but I was writing at the speed I was hearing it and going basic lyrics. Because if you understand the process of how you're going about it, you know that you can trust yourself to get something right. You're not going to come up with something like, oh, pink, purple, dragon, rainbow. Like, that's not this song. You have started to channel your creative in a certain direction, which you do by just being a human, right? So all of these contexts of Acuna, my friend that listens to music, the stories I had, those people, the homeless guys I was interacting with and one lived with us for a short period of time in London, and all that feeding then through to where I am now, what I've done in my life, all of this stuff is channeling to the point of where we are, this present moment. So follow that. And as I was typing lyrics out, I was trying to keep it very hurtful, basic and accessible, but without sitting completely in cliche. So I start to, second verse as well, I imagine, you know, me and my girlfriend, for example, like we were in London and we'd spend evenings, and it was just this really like fun and full on and difficult and challenging time, you know, with new love and my life, her life colliding. The language is not colliding. And I don't know, I managed to tap into that. And again, that film last night was pretty cool. And even having dreamed about that quite intense place, and that comes out through the songs, and let that come out. And even the second verse, the first verse I'd established was reminiscing back on a time when you were with someone in a city and it was going really well, loving together, cutting up streets and enjoying it, even in a dark place, you know. And the second verse, I thought, I still remember. So you're building on that first verse, bigger boxes, Ralph Murphy. I still remember loving together. You were a white feather forever spinning round and round, something like that. And again, feather came out. And following these simple rhymes can give you something cool. And that image of the feather falling was that delicacy and beauty of the partner that you miss. And you're trying to preserve that and let them fall gracefully and let it fall gracefully. But it's quite a tragic image, especially with the type of music and the emotion you put on it. And then returning to this idea, you know, I fell down, lost my crown. And it's like being hesitant to want to relive that. That's the idea, is that I don't want to go through this because I'll have a heart attack. And even the word heart attack came out. I wouldn't normally, because it's so cliche, right? Falling down, heart attack, lost love, you know. But when you put them all together, it can form something cool and something accessible, in my opinion. And we'll see how it goes. Again, I've deliberately recorded this before it's come out, before Acuna's heard it, because it's not about the process of this song. That doesn't matter to you guys. What matters is understanding the processes mentally that you might go through when you're writing, and what you can do to help yourself, to push yourself forward, to have yourself falling, failing forward as you write. And that's the point, falling forward, failing forward. Wrote that with us in a session the other day with Joel. So this song, again, finding the B section. Because I knew what I had was kind of, do you remember loving together, as the verse thing. And I fell down and mess out. And that was the pre, or that was the kind of A hook, which starts in your intro as well. And I knew that I needed a kind of faster paced thing. So that's what came out. And I remember knowing that there was a space vacant. I know that this music go is quite hard and you have to kind of go with the music. Because normally what I do to create tension in drum and bass is I sing deliberately back, like relaxed, calm, open, emotional, like really kind of breathy. But then when you want to go, you got to go. So I started to think, oh, I didn't actually push the higher octave in the other song. I'm going to push that now. I'm going to put some falsetto in there. And then the other idea is like, over and over and then this heart attack, over now and it's so hard and now, over now. And that was the idea. And then you throw an octave on top of that or a backing vocal. And it can be very effective. That's the beauty of this genre, is that you don't need to oversell it sometimes. And that's my tendency. I had to, you know, do this first 4.5 minutes of ideas that then strip back to a minute and a half, that then strip back to like 4 melodies. And once I had this heart attack thing, I realized what the trajectory of the song was. And it was, I fell down. So you're currently in a place where you don't have that relationship anymore. Reminiscing in the verses, and then that idea of how hard it still is, because you can't remember it. You can't express how you feel about it. And that's a difficulty. You don't want to relive that because you'll have a heart attack. So then I ended up with the idea being like, fell down as the title name. Because again, it's not me being clever. It's like literally you have to name and save the file. So you've got to get to this point where you're giving yourself permission to do things that are half-baked, that might end up being baked. Concrete. Some people, Jordan Lee's described it as concrete. Sometimes songwriting's like concrete, and you set it and it's soft and it has to harden over time to see if it's a good idea. But again, if you want to rewrite, you want to get in there before it's too hard. But in this case, I thought, cool, this is where I'm going. This is what the song is going to be. And having those different melodies, having those different ideas coming together and folding it back and going, cool, this is the story. And as you can hear, this has now taken me longer to record this than it did to write this, because all of the things that I'm talking about, and I could talk for a lot longer on this song, I won't necessarily, but you know, this is excluding all the time, like I said, to get the title, to save it, all these kinds of things. You can talk a lot longer about something than when you're doing it, because your brain is this supercomputer, and we're these emotional supercomputers that we channel everything we have faster than we can talk about processing it. And that's the beauty of what we do and why we do it. So that's why I can talk about this longer than it takes to do it. But hopefully if you, again, build in this practice, create proof for yourself you can do it and put yourself under pressure like I did today, you will see where you are. And if you're happy with it, fantastic, keep going. It'll push you forward and drive you to feel confident, to go and book things, to go and be in sessions, to go and even put a price on your art, put a price on what you're talking about. So that's where we are. And again, enjoyed the song and benefited from working with someone that I like, just like talking to. And when I say that, we've exchanged only via email and WhatsApp, but you get a lot because he'll share about his family, what he's doing. And you do have this connection with someone, especially when you sing a song and it comes out, you can kind of, you think of them as you listen to it or as you're working on it. So it's that funny thing of who you associate with. So that was enjoyable and going through that process. And I guess the last part was just labeling each take, going back over the takes that weren't quite there and going, okay, that's not quite there, but I'm going to listen to it to make sure that the idea I have is the one I think is best. And then what I started to do, instead of taking all the melodies over 4 minutes, I would go, okay, how close can I get them? And how do I make this a really enjoyable journey for a listener while also leaving space for production? Because there was this pre-break section where it's like full on static, which you can sing over, but I didn't. I just did a few like painful ums and ohs. Like I was kind of not ready for what's coming. And again, as you build the character, you start to lean into the character and start to make choices based on what you feel like are the best ways to go. And that's pretty much all the processes. And some of the lyrical stuff wasn't that clever. It was finding an image like the feather. And that was it. I was like, okay, what does a feather do? It falls. And what is it? It's white and beautiful. And that's describing a love, that kind of innocence of it. And then going back to that bitterness of, I think of, you know, clubs, pubs, people that are not, I mean, myself, you know, I'm not projecting on other people. It's when I've done something I'm not proud of or scared to feel again, you want to avoid it. But you know, you want to avoid that heart attack, you want to avoid that feeling. And yeah, having that kind of a reasonably dark sense of regret was something I wanted to excise, because we're positive on this show. And I think positivity is not toxic positivity, but encouragement, pushing people, like I said, fail and fall forward, and you'll thank yourself for that. But if you never start, it's a shame. And even this song, you know, if you never loved, you never have felt it, never had those nice memories. So do you want to regret it, really? All of that in 20 minutes. And I think that was a really good exercise. I enjoyed it. whether you enjoyed it or not, but this is something you can do for yourself and just push yourself to see where you are and work in different genres. And I come from a lot of rock, really, a bit of R&B, a lot of pop. So to go to drum and bass, I've only been really a listener. And then since working with Acuna, I've kind of started to enjoy doing that. And who knows, I might find more people to work with like this because I enjoyed it. And because you can, again, I can put a price on my art, I can have it come out and I can have people listen to it. And I guess I overthink that and the perfectionism. I only have a perspective on it because I suffer from it. So that's pretty much the most that I would go into for now. And to summarize, having templates is important. Work with good people. Really absorb everything, even the things you think you're not considering in terms of things around you, things that have happened to you, words, people, images. Let them sit and then blow up that balloon to create the space or the fence for the creative to work inside. Let the music, let your practice do its thing. Sit back and allow it to happen before you jump in and judge it. Allow lyrics to fall out as you go. And then use those images that are inspired by those lyrics. And again, it's not that you need to have a perfect idea. It's like, let the lyric inspire the image that inspires the melody that inspires the lyric again that inspires the melody. And let this thing bounce back and forth. Don't just imagine that it has to come from a certain way. Because again, that's kind of perfectionism. That's fear of success, fear of failure, and it'll stop. So going through that, and be efficient, trust yourself. You've got some good melodies, now go and listen to it. If they suck, of course, keep going. But you have a feeling if they're good, and try not to judge the idea of, well, what do other people think is good? Well, what do I think is good? What strikes me? What sticks with me when I'm listening to it? And stepping back, you know, walking through a door frame, is this a good melody? And then getting the lyrics to flow, you know, one or two stages of lyrics, 2 to 3 stages of melody, and be okay with what happens at the end because you did it. And that is the key. That's definitely the key when working and writing like this. So there we go. That is, as I called it, fall down, brackets, heart attack for Acuna. And we'll see where this goes. We'll see how it evolves. We'll see how it changes. He might love it. He might hate it. I might hate it. I might change it. Or like last time, he'll just love it and put it in as it is. And I won't even realize. And it'll come out 4 years later and he'll go, hey, can you do a video for the song we're releasing? I'm like, which song? I can hear how young I am on it, but like, cool, whatever. That's out in the world. And that's cool. Just from that has inspired this, has inspired other things. So again, trying to drink my own Kool-Aid is allow things to happen, allow them to be imperfect, allow them to be what they are, and allow that to drive you forward. And it really did give me a sense of pride, actually, thinking about it, to have done that. It was something I didn't really consider. And I did maybe 20 other things, 25 other things in that week or that period of time that I thought were more important, but really that's what stuck with me. And I have to get better at recognizing that. So, as we said, if you love this show, and before you go, there's the information about a donation in the description. Really kind. Again, still reflecting on that people pushed me to have a donation option, and that is smart and I need to accept that. But this will always be free, and this information, as I said today, I will always push myself to find out new things, and if I do, I will try to share that in the most eloquent way I can. But if you have any questions, reach out and we can have a conversation about that. So I'm going to crack on with the rest of this day, and I might well be in a different country when this comes out, which is exciting. What I've always wanted to do, always what I've worked for when I started 4 years ago with absolutely fucking zero, fuck all. And here we go. So thank you very much for your time. Please keep writing, push yourselves, and trust yourselves. Good night.